Just a thought I wanted to share with you tonight that was on my heart today as I was praying about this meeting. It's Psalm 66. Psalm 66, if you have a Bible, you can turn there real quick with me. If I were to entitle this thought, it's just basically this: praise God for his awesome works. Praise God for his awesome works. The psalmist begins in verse 1 by saying this. He says, shout praise, joyful praise. Somebody say joyful praise. He says, shout joyful praise to God. He doesn't say whisper. He doesn't even say, just think about it. He says, shout it out. Shout it out. Hallelujah. Shout it out. Shout joyful praises to God, all the earth. Sing about the glory of his name. Say to God, okay, so he's saying, direct this to God. How awesome are your works? How awesome are your deeds? God, I praise you for what you have done. I choose to praise you. The rocks are not going to cry out. The devil's not going to get my praise. I choose to praise you for what you have done. How awesome are your deeds? Your enemies cringe before your mighty power. He said, God, you are awesome. The enemies cringe before you. Your enemies bend before you. They fold before you. Hallelujah. They tremble before you. Your dread comes into their hearts, hallelujah, because of your mighty power. He declares that God's power is mighty, that God is omnipotent, that there is nobody like him. Verse 4, everything on earth will worship you. Every knee will bow. Folks, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. It doesn't matter what things look like right now in the natural. It doesn't matter what it looks like in your community. It doesn't matter what it looks like on your job or on your campus. It doesn't matter what it looks like in our society, folks. It doesn't matter. God is still on the throne, and God is still in control. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. God is still most high over all the earth. Hallelujah. He says, everything on earth will worship you. They will sing your praises. Shout your name in glorious, shouting your name in glorious song. In other words, God, your praise is glorious. The praise I choose to offer to you is going to be a type of praise that's going to bring glory and honor to you. I choose to honor you, God. I choose to sing a praise that brings glory to you. I choose to testify of your greatness and your goodness. No matter what things look like, no matter what I feel, God, I make a choice to shout your praise and to make your praise glorious. Hallelujah. Verse 5, he says, come and see what our God has done. It's like the Holy Spirit through the psalmist invites you and I to come and see what our God has done. And the psalmist, and in the same way, the Holy Spirit desires through you and I to invite those around us, those in our homes, those that sit next to us in church that might have come in and are burdened down, those on our job that don't have a reason to praise him because of their current circumstance and the difficulty that they're in, those that might be lying next to you in a hospital bed, which means you're in the hospital because of some difficulty or trial or sickness or affliction. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers us out of them all. Folks, and that deliverance might be on this side of eternity where he chooses to raise us up and heal us, or it might be God taking us home to be with him. But live or die, I'm the Lord's. And folks, I win no matter what. And you win no matter what. Hallelujah. He says, come and see what our God has done. So through the psalmist, the Holy Spirit is inviting us to remember God's goodness and greatness, to think about his glorious deeds, and to begin to praise him for them. What awesome miracles he performs for his people. So the psalmist is testifying, and the Holy Spirit through him is challenging you and I to testify. Over and over through this psalm, you'll see it. He challenges us. He invites us. He calls us to praise God and to worship him. Notice what he begins to do here. In verse 6, he says, he made a dry path through the Red Sea, and his people went across on foot. What is he doing? He's declaring what God had done for his people. He's testifying of God's greatness, of God's miracle-working power in his life and in the lives of his people. He says, there we rejoiced in him, for by his great power, he rules forever. God is on the throne. God is on the throne. He watches every movement of the nations. Let no rebel rise in defiance. In other words, do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. God watches over the nations. Everything going on, God knows, sees, and he is working it out for his purposes, folks. You know, the ultimate goal is to bring in the church, the bride, to bring in the lost, to bring in those that would surrender to him, to bring in the harvest, to bring in the bride. You know, the ultimate goal, the ultimate battle and warfare is light against darkness. Remember that. It's the powers of hell against the kingdom of God. And the enemy is after the church. He's after the seed of Christ, which is in you and I. But of course, we know we have the victory. But the battle has always been to try and come against the church. But God is in control, folks. And the psalmist knew that, and he begins to remind us of that. And that's why he says, Selah. Think about that. Ponder that for a moment. Folks, I think of even some of the praise reports that were sent in this past week. Here's someone from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, who begins to give praise to God. Thank you, Jesus, with an exclamation point. The doctor thought I had gallstones, but the abdominal ultrasound result came today, and it is all clear. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. God answers prayers always. Here's someone else from Hawthorne, New Jersey. Thank you for all your prayers. My extreme preemie, born December 8th, 2019, at 1 pound, 11 ounces, is now 4 pounds and 10 ounces. In an open crib and healthy. I can't thank God enough. Here's S from Norway. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me. He also miraculously gave me a new job that I was praying for. Jesus is faithful and he loves his children. God bless. Well, God bless you and thank you for writing in. Here's someone from Brooklyn, New York. A foot condition threatened my ability to walk. The doctor recommended expensive surgery. After going to the Lord in prayer, I can walk with no pain and run fine. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Someone else from Brooklyn. God's working miracles in Brooklyn. It's good to live in Brooklyn. No, I'm just kidding. Brooklyn, New York. For 5 years, I had issues sleeping at night, often resorting to meds. After finally turning to God in prayer and coming to the prayer meetings, I have been set free. Hallelujah. Here's Zach from Birmingham, Alabama. God has moved through your prayers in a mighty way. Exclamation point. We have seen God give our son a sound mind and a hunger for the things of God. Thank you in all 206 countries. Hallelujah. Last one. Here's Evie from Sparta, Greece. Thank you for your prayers. Giannis's brain surgery went very well. He woke up normally. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Folks, this is what we're talking about tonight. Coming back and giving God praise for his mercy and his goodness. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The psalmist goes on to say in verse 8, let the whole world bless our God and loudly sing his praises. Our lives are in his hands, and he keeps our feet from stumbling. Folks, he's the one that stabilizes you in your walk. He's the one that stabilizes you. The scripture says the steps of the godly are ordered by the Lord, and he establishes their way, and he delights in their way. But that word ordered doesn't just mean direct. It means to make firm, to establish, to make to stand, to make to stand fast. That's what the psalmist is talking about here. He keeps our feet from stumbling. You have tested us, O God. You have purified us like silver. In other words, God, you allow us to go through tests and trials, but you're doing something. You're refining us. God, I recognize what you're doing. You are at work in my life. The devil is not in control. You know, quite often we give the devil too much credit. Folks, he is the refiner's fire. And we are in his hands. He's the potter, we are the clay, and we are in his hands. Folks, your life is not in the devil's hands. The devil's not in control. God is in control. And so the psalmist said, in faithfulness, God, in your faithfulness, you have afflicted me that I might learn your statutes, that I might learn to depend on you, that I might learn to seek you, that I might learn to go to your word, that I might learn to get on my knees and turn to you and you alone. When my back is up against the wall and there's no other way to turn, God, you produce the dependency in me, a cry in me. You strip me from leaning on my own understanding so that I might acknowledge you in all my ways, so that you might direct my path. Verse 10, you have tested us, O God. You have purified us like silver. You captured us in your net and laid the burdens of slavery on our backs. Then you put a leader over us. Another translation says you allowed our enemies to, you made people to ride over our heads. We went through fire and flood. We went through fire and flood. We didn't avoid it. We went through it. But you brought us to a place of great. Somebody say great. Great abundance. Hallelujah. Great abundance, folks. Not just abundance, but great abundance. In other words, he produced an incredible presence of God, dependency of God, and a power of the Holy Ghost, an anointing on your life, the fruit of the Spirit in you and I, so that others can taste and see that the Lord is good. He produced a strength of character, an endurance, a patience, a joy that the world can't give us and that the world can't take away. You brought us to a place of great fruitfulness, of great abundance. Verse 13, now I come to your temple with burnt offerings to fulfill the vows I made to you. Yes, the sacred vows that I made when I was in deep trouble. Folks, you know what the psalmist is talking about. How many of you have said, Lord, if you will only get me out of this mess, I promise. God, I promise. That's what the psalmist is talking about here. He said, yes, the sacred vows I made when I was in deep trouble. Some of us were in deep trouble. That is why I'm sacrificing burnt offerings to you, the best of the rams as pleasing aroma, and the sacrifice of bulls and male goats. In other words, God, that is why I've chosen to praise you and worship you. I refuse to be like those lepers, those nine that didn't return to give God thanks for what he had done. But I choose to come back to your house and offer a sacrifice of praise. David said it this way, I refuse to offer to God something that costs me nothing. Right now, I may be tired. I may even be sick. I might be going through the deepest trial of my life. But yet, Lord, I choose to trust you because you have never failed me. And so, Lord, I'm going to begin to give you thanks by faith, not by feelings. Folks, if you go by your feelings, you'll never praise God. Or maybe you'll praise God sometimes when it's good, but then when it's rough, you won't praise God. Folks, that's not true praise. You know, there's two times to praise God. When you feel like it and when you don't, because he is still worthy. He never changes. He is worthy of our praise on our good days and on our bad days. Why? Because he has us in the palm of his hand, and there's no devil that can pluck us out. His will for our lives will be accomplished no matter what happens. He will finish the good work he began in you. For faithful is he that calls you, and he will do it. Hallelujah. Come and listen, all you who fear God. In other words, all you who revere God. And I will tell you what he did for me. Verse 17, for I cried out to him for help, praising him as I spoke. Notice he needed help, but he still praised him as he spoke. Not in his own strength, but leaning on the Lord, leaning on the grace of God, trusting God, asking God for help. God, help me. Help me not just to cry out to you with my need, but help me to remember to give you thanks, right? The word of God says, prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. He goes on to say in verse 18, if I had not confessed my sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. In other words, if I lived in open sin, in willful sin, folks, I know what that's like. I know when God is convicting me about something and he's trying to deal with me about something and you try to push it to the side, and you try to ignore it, and you still try to praise God, or you try to pray about something else, and that thing refuses to go away. It just keeps coming up. You try to bury it, it comes up. You try to hide it and cover it, it comes up. Folks, you know what I'm talking about. When God is speaking to you, when the Holy Ghost is after you, and you try to ignore it, but God keeps coming back, and he says, as I was saying, oh yeah, he might answer your prayer about this or that, but then he comes back, and he comes back to you and I, and he says, as we were discussing. Why does he do that? Because he loves you and I too much to let us go our own way. Folks, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And God refuses you and I to become hard of heart, to allow us to become hard of heart like Hebrews 3 talks about. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. He says, if I had not confessed my sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. And then he ends saying this, praise God, who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love, his mercy from me. Folks, do you have a reason to praise him tonight? Do you have a reason to praise him tonight? I said, do you have a reason to praise him tonight? For his marvelous, his glorious, his awesome deeds. Hallelujah. Folks, I don't think you heard me tonight. I said, has he been good to you? Has he been kind to you? Has he protected you? Has he provided for you? Has he led you? Has he kept you? Has he directed you? Has he loved you? Then, folks, you have a reason to praise him tonight. You have a reason to bless him tonight. You have a reason to thank him tonight. You have a reason to lift your voice tonight and to give God glory, to give God honor, to give God the highest praise. Hallelujah. Victory belongs to you tonight. Hallelujah. Father, tonight we choose to worship you. We choose to bless you. We choose to thank you. Despite what things look like on the outside, we know you are working all things together for good to us who love God and are called according to your purpose. And so tonight we sing the right song on the right side of the Red Sea. We choose to honor you tonight. We choose to tell the world that you are good and that your mercy endures forever. We choose to tell the world that Jesus lives. We shout unto God with the voice of triumph.